Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
And a very, very, very good Friday morning, Western Oklahoma. Jared Atha filling in for Aaron Skinny Calc today. It is The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Thanks for tuning on in on this wonderful Raptor Week Up Friday. And man, what a weekend we have ahead of us this weekend sports-wise. Of course, the big thing, the big topic on everybody's mind, even if you're not a fan of a certain team, you are a fan of college football, then you're going to be talking about OU Nebraska, and that is tomorrow happening at 11 o'clock. We'll dive more into that coming up a little bit later in the show. We'll also talk more about OSU's trip to Boise, Idaho, a very lovely place, but will it be lovely for the Cowboys? They're having some trouble moving that football. We'll talk about that game as they take on Boise State tomorrow night. We'll look at some other games throughout the country of significance. Before we do all that, it is Friday night. Friday Night Lights, right? I love that show, by the way, in the movie. I don't have a game to go to, so I might actually be at home watching that movie tonight. But there are a lot of other games taking place throughout the area, including right here on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, the sports animal, as the Merritt Oilers. They are on the road looking for their first win against a very winnable opponent, taking on Hinton. We got Jess Moore in studio, who's helping me out, and he is the voice of the Merritt Oilers, and we'll talk to him about that game and maybe some other games. We'll look at some other games that's on the docket tonight throughout the area of importance, of interest. And, hey, there was a big softball game last night right here in Elk City, and I got to touch on this because I was there for a little bit of it. I had some other stuff I had to do out the softball fields, but I was there, and I'm going to give you my reaction about what I saw. We'll talk about that coming up and much, much more. Don't forget, you can be a part of the show. It's real easy, 580-225-9698. A lot of people like to text us. We welcome that. If you want to give a shout-out to maybe your kid or maybe your nephew or niece or whoever or your favorite team that did something good last night or sometime, or maybe you want to wish them good luck tonight as they put on the strap on the shoulder pads or they're swinging a bat, let us know. 580-225-9698. You want to chime in, you're more than welcome to do that. We strongly encourage that. A lot of people don't like to call us, but you can still call us. That's no problem. Same number, but a lot of people like to text us. So let's hear from you. Hey, and also don't forget, we archive every show. That's on our Facebook page. Follow The Skinny on Sports on Facebook. We put a daily link on that when I remember to record. And I do remember most of the time than not. We're recording today. I've already checked. That's on there. And when you click on it, you can also search us on iTunes in the podcast section. So go ahead and just click that like and subscribe button right there on the podcast. And you'll get alerted every time a new one is ready to go. It's very convenient because some can't listen to us live. I have a lot of people tell me, hey, when's the podcast going up? Because you're what I listen to when I work out, or you're what I listen to when I drive home, et cetera, et cetera. We're glad to do that. And I think we get most of our listeners, as I'm bringing Jess in here, I think we get most of our listeners through our podcast. I know we have a lot of live listeners because I see it on the text line, people chiming in with whatever we're talking about. But there's been times when we've said some pretty hairy stuff.
Right.
And a couple days later, we take some flack for it.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I heard what you said. I'm like, yeah, that was like 3 days ago.
Yeah. And they're looking to dig it up and be like, hang on, let me pull this up. Oh, this is what you said here. And then I'm going to pull this back in last year. Here's what you said that day. Come on.
Oh, don't kid yourself. Something I said 2 years ago came back to haunt me on Saturday.
Right.
And it was in good fun. But I was like, are we still talking about that?
Can we
let it go?
Some people won't let it go.
They'll
hold a grudge. Yeah,
no, it happens. It's a vice of mine too. There's times I remember Adam Schefter said Bob Stoops was going to Notre Dame, and I still never forgive him for that.
Oh no, not at all.
Well, one, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Why would you say that? Stick to the NFL. Stay in your lane, bro.
No kidding. gosh.
Anyways, that's Jess Moore. Jess, thanks for being on with us. You're kind of new around these parts.
A little bit, Jared.
You're still getting acclimated to everything.
I am getting in the groove of things.
You are now our new voice for the Merritt Oilers.
Yep.
And you got two games in, and now your third game tonight on right down I-40 way to beautiful Hinton.
Yeah.
I love going to Hinton. Always a pleasure going over there. They got like a new high school, I think. That's like
I haven't been over there in a while. It's five years old.
It's really nice. One time I was driving through. When come basketball season, you'll find you drive all over Western Oklahoma.
Oh yeah.
And I enjoy that. I'm like driving through the great communities that we have out here. One time I was driving through Hinton and I realized, where's their school? And then I realized they just built a new school.
Yeah.
It is really pretty. It's really nice. Oh, yeah. Really nice. You'll enjoy it over there.
So, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good game tonight.
So, let's just jump into that. Let's preview Merritt at Hinton tonight. What, about 6:30 pregame, kicking it off at 7 right here on KADS, the Sports Animal, and also on ParagonTV.com. Just click on Oiler TV. You can see it live as it unfolds. Let's talk about it. Now, I know they're coming in 0-2. Tough loss in week one against Mangum. Went on the road against a very good Oklahoma Christian Academy team. Am I saying that right? OCA?
Yeah, Oklahoma Christian Academy. Yep, Fighting Eagles.
That's a tough team to go up against. But when you go up against those teams, especially in the non-district, makes you better, right?
Absolutely.
So what have you seen so far about the Oilers, and how do you like their chances tonight?
Chances, I'm going to think, are pretty good tonight and everything. I actually got to talk to Coach Richardson yesterday and everything. He said this is going to be a must-win for these guys. I know it's preseason, or not preseason, but non-district season. You're still kind of getting your groove and everything. This is kind of just warm-up games for these guys. But this is something you really want to go into districts with a win. And I think they've got a really good chance tonight. Was watching them. They've got great defense, fantastic running back and everything. It's just their pass game. They need to pick up a little more on that and everything. There wasn't that much passing going on last game, and I think that kind of slowed them down some here and there.
Was that credit to OCA's defense?
That was, I think so. They had some really good coverage. And OCA, that's a big team. There's some big guys on there. They should be playing some college on there and everything.
They might be on their way.
I know it.
Speaking of which, where did they play on Saturday? I was curious about
Edmond
that.
North.
They played at Edmond North.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a nice facility, too.
Yeah.
I
think it's the newest one.
Yeah.
I believe it is.
Yeah, they built that. They were playing at Edmond Memorial for a while, and then they built that stadium, and OCA moved over there, and they said, we like it over here a lot better now. It kind of feels like you're in a big college stadium and everything.
So I suspect that's why they played it on a Saturday, because Edmond North was at home on Friday. I'm just assuming.
We tried to figure that out for about 2 weeks, and I was just curious, and I guess it was something to do with, like, they were kind of doing, like, a tribute to 9/11 and everything, 20th anniversary.
Okay,
so all right. I think that it was a real respectful ceremony and everything they did. But, I think they kind of wanted to feel like they were playing college football.
Okay.
And get that Saturday morning game going on.
You know, no disrespect to that, because I know we have Thursday night games too, but it's called Friday Night Lights.
It is.
Right? And that's why I love Thursday. I can get by with, because it's still before the weekend. But if I'm seeing that there's a game that conflicts with my football watching on a Saturday, my college football watching, why try to even compete with that?
Oh, I know.
Friday is reserved for high school, right?
Yeah.
It's been like that for decades, for forever.
Yeah,
it's Friday has been reserved for high schools. But don't get me down a road that where I start ranting.
Right. Oh, I don't blame you. No,
that's where we talk. Remember when I talk about saying stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
But I get the Thursday night games. There's some that you can't avoid. Some that are just, you know, with fall break and scheduling conflicts and all that stuff. Not against Thursday night games, but me, I'm an old school guy. I want to see Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Then you don't get that day of rest that you need and everything, especially on a Saturday afternoon
game. Yeah, so football's a rough sport. You need that time.
They need that few 7 days just to get ready and everything. So
now, last year I was at the Merritt Hinton game.
Okay.
It was a similar situation. We had a bye week, and it was this week, and Hinton was here, obviously. So I went. I have a niece that cheers for Merritt, so when we just had some family time, and that's what we did that Friday night. And it was a great game. Merritt had to come back to win it, and it looked like they just couldn't stop. Have you seen any film on Hinton or anything like that? They had a running back. I think he was number 7. I cannot remember the name. Again, it was a year ago, and I
forget a lot of stuff.
He's not there anymore.
Thank goodness, because he was a big guy. Remember Jamar Toombs?
Yeah.
Remember just a tank.
Massive, yeah.
Running back.
Bulldozer coming through.
It took more than two or three guys to get him down.
Yeah.
This was this guy. I mean, they would just line up and go straight at you. It was like a power eye.
Right.
One wide receiver out. That was it.
Yeah.
And eventually Merritt was able to slow him down enough and get their offense going and come back to beat him. So it was a real exciting game, and I suspect it's going to be a good one tonight too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, like I said, Hinton, they're going to be a tough team. They came back last week against Mangum and beat them by one. And like you were saying earlier, Mangum's just – they're getting that one-point score
they're
there.
They're 1-1 by 2 points.
Exactly.
They beat Merritt by 1 point in week one and lost, like you said, to Hinton by 1 point. It's crazy.
So they're really going to have to watch them in that fourth quarter and everything because
– they can definitely turn it on.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's tonight. Again, about 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kicking it off. ParagonTV.com, Oiler TV, and, of course, right here on the Sports Animal. Other games tonight of interest will start in 4A. A lot of 4A1 teams in action, except Clinton. Of course, Clinton had their game with Millwood canceled because Millwood is saying our kids are not getting it done in the classroom, so they're not going to try to get it done on the football field. Kudos to Millwood.
Yeah.
They could have easily said, no, okay, we'll put the team together and leave out the ineligibles and see what we got. But they're making the whole team pay because a few are not getting it done in the classroom.
Yeah, you got to set an example.
So, you know, basically ineligible.
Yeah.
You know, remember that? You did not want to be on that ineligible list.
No.
You did not. I know me personally because my parents would tan my hide.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what's happening with Millwood and Clinton. So no Clinton game tonight. It was supposed to be homecoming for Clinton. Listen, I stay on Clinton a little bit. I'm from Clinton, so you know it's homecoming, and I was looking forward to going to that tonight because it would have been, I guess, my 20th anniversary of my senior year homecoming.
Oh, wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I know I talked to some other fellow graduates from '02, and they thought, yeah, we'll probably go to that. Now it's not happening. So, but they are moving home, coming back a couple weeks. Unfortunately, I can't go because I'll be at another football
game. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So, oh well. But they are still at what's a big tradition over in Clinton is the Junior Service League spaghetti dinner on homecoming.
All right.
Now, listen, they can't just freeze that stuff. I mean, they had all the material. So they're still having that today, just free pub out there. Just if you're in the Clinton area looking for some lunch or dinner, might swing by the, I believe it's the Frisco Conference Center.
There you go.
Check that one out. But again, no game tonight, unfortunately, for Clinton. They get back at, I believe it is against Newcastle, opening district play next week. But games happening tonight. Newcastle, speaking of which, hosting Blanchard tonight. Anadarko is hosting Chickasha. That's kind of a rivalry game right there. Elgin is taking on Tecumseh. I believe that's at Elgin. And yes, it is. And Weatherford will be taking on Woodward, is hosting Woodward tonight. Weatherford off last week. They're supposed to play El Reno. El Reno got bit with the COVID.
That's scary this year and everything still. That's
well,
going
last
on
year it was crazy. It was rampant. You didn't know week to week if you're playing or not because of if it was your team or your opponent or whatever. And there's even some quick games created because of that. If there's any positive to that, one of those games being. Remember Clinton, they had an opponent, and then Kingfisher also had a situation where their opponent opted out because of COVID, so Clinton and Kingfisher played.
Yeah.
And they've played, when they were in 3A together, they played some really good games, so they played last year, and it turned out to be a good one, too.
Right.
I don't think we're going to see a lot of that this year because a lot of COVID cancellations.
No, yeah, it's been fortunate so far, so.
Knock on wood, and... there's other factors in. I won't bring to air because I'm just a hairy mess. I'm not trying to show my hand of what politically or my opinion on one thing or another. But I think there's more understanding of COVID than there was even a year ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's 4A1. Class A, we touched on Merritt. They're going to Hinton tonight. Cashin is at Thomas Faye Custer. That's a big one, too.
Yeah.
That was for the state title last year. And Thomas Faye Custer appears to be down a little bit, happens every once in a while. You get a great senior class leaving, and then you got a lot of holes to fill. But it is still Thomas, and this is at Thomas. So yes, something to keep an eye on. Could be a really good one. Elmore City, Purnell is at Carnegie. Mangum and Burns Flat tonight. I really like that matchup. I love Burns Flat. I love Coach Schneeberger and what he does over there, what he's done since he's gotten on campus or returned to campus. He's a Burns right. Flat guy. And he has made them he's brought them – I mean, they used to be the homecoming game, speaking of homecoming.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Now, not so much. They are real – I think they're a very underrated team in Class A, and I think they got a chance to prove it tonight taking on Mangum, because Mangum is still pretty salty.
Yeah.
So I really like Burns Flat tonight in that one, if we're making picks.
Old
we're
alumni, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Watonga at Minco. Watonga Eagles. Shout out to the Eagles over at Watonga. They got some impressive wins. One of those was over Thomas. They beat Hobart. Now they got Minco looking up the wrap-up, the non-district play undefeated. Minco Bulldogs, I think, are down two, but I really like Watonga, too. I'm hearing got a little insight over there from one of the coaches. Said, we knew going in, we returned a lot of kids, and they got stronger and faster over the offseason.
Yeah, for sure.
So that always helps. Eight-man football, Class B and C. Shattuck is at Cherokee. That could be fun. Ceiling is at Kremlin Hillsdale. Not Hillsdale. Hillsdale. Mod is at Snyder. Mountain View Godibo is at Warika. Mountain View Godibo really good, too.
They are.
And Sharon Mutual is taking on O'Keen tonight. Some other games of interest. I think a big one, one of the biggest ones in the state, is Stillwater at Bixby. Bixby, I think, is arguably top 10 in the nation.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
I always see headlines about them, so I'm going to say yes.
I mean, if there was a national ranking, I'd easily put them in the top 10.
Yeah.
Might be a little biased because they're from Oklahoma, but they're really good.
Oh, yeah.
They've been really good. Stillwater undefeated, and they're always good, too. That's tonight. That's really about it of all the football in the area.
Good matchups.
So, there are some good matchups, but the one I'll be keeping an eye on is Merritt at Hinton.
We'll see what happens.
Should be a fun one right there.
Absolutely.
Don't forget you can stream us, too. Just download the Paragon app. I knew I forgot something. Aaron's really good at wrapping all that up in the opener. But don't forget you can download the Paragon app. The Paragon app is so valuable because not only are you getting KADS, the sports animal, you get our other properties, too. You get KECO, you get Cool 94, you get The Rock. You got links to go to ParagonTV.com and BigElkTV.com. And we mentioned high school football. I was mentioning it earlier. Big Elk's not playing tonight. They have a bye week because they played week zero. Okay, so that's why they're not playing tonight. And I think they earned it. They're 3-0, and let them recover from the non-district and get ready for a tough district slate, because 4-1, in me and Aaron's opinion, Jess, looks really, really good top to bottom.
Yeah, it does.
So we're going to have to be on our toes coming up. And I think it's perfect that they open district play against Elgin, because in the preseason prognostications by the coaches poll, they voted Elgin as the 8th team in 4A1.
Oh, wow.
And Elk City is number 7.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so if that holds up, and by the way, I thought Elk City was dramatically underrated, and I think that's proving to be true. I might be a little cart ahead of the horse right there. I know it's just been 3 games, but from what I've seen, it looks really good. It looks like a good 3-0.
Yeah,
despite the quality of opponent, and I think Pampa's a good quality opponent, and they beat them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, again, don't get me ranting, but I think this is a perfect game taking on Elgin in the first district game. It's on the road, so that's going to be tough. But if they can go there, look good, win, and look good doing it, I think it's going to get a lot of people's attention. By the way, the AP poll that was released on Tuesday or Monday, anyways, Elk City did get a vote. So if the poll were extended past 10, they would have been like 13th.
Okay.
So they are turning some heads.
Right.
Keep doing what you're doing, guys, if you're listening, and you're going to get a lot of attention. And that's good and maybe bad, too, because then people are, oh, wait, we got to get really ready for Elk City because they're going to be really good when they come to town.
Yeah.
So, but Elk's off this week. Take advantage, boys. Get healthy. Let's go get them in Elgin next week. Okay, I was talking about, speaking of Elk City, I was talking about softball last night. There was a softball game. Let me run it down for you. Jess. I'm going. My kid plays on Thursday nights. Her league games are on Thursday nights, and I help coach that team. We had to be at the field, you know, getting ready for it. I'm walking in, and I notice there's a huge crowd at where the high school plays, and I realize, oh yeah, they're playing tonight. It's Oak City versus Weatherford.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that'll get you going, right? I
yeah,
mean,
for
it's
sure.
A rivalry game, right? And the significance of it was the winner of that game basically would clinch the second spot in the district.
Okay.
Regardless of the outcomes of the rest of the games. I believe that's how it's explained to me. Could be wrong. I got the hiccups. I'm sorry. But, so, I get there and it's a tie game 1-1. I mean, it's like the fourth inning. And then they put a run across and put some more across. I mean, this crowd that was there was dynamic. Huge.
Yes.
So I had some time. I went over and I stood and I watched some of the game, and I realized that is a lot of the football guys.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The student section, not just football kids, but that's cool to see.
It you is, know,
it's
for
easy
sure.
to want to stay at home and play your video games or get on your iPad or whatever, or even go to the game but not pay attention and just look at your phone. Every one of those kids in that student section were engaged in watching this game. That's cool. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen a lot of other
schools. That's always good morale.
That is very cool, and you know that those girls fueled off of that. They eventually won 6-1.
Wow!
And took down Weatherford to claim that second spot in the district. I believe Tuttle is number one.
Yeah,
but that's good. I mean, they're 20-5, I believe, after last night. 20 wins, and
man,
playoffs are approaching. It'll be towards end of this month, and. In the playoffs, and I think Elk City softball has a great chance to make a deep playoff run.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen them, I know there are more games for them coming up. I'm going to effort that. I know I just had that up and I lost. I had their schedule up. Bear with me. But if you are if you have a chance to go watch these girls, go do it. After what I saw, and I haven't had a lot of the opportunity because, like I said, scheduling conflicts with me and my kid, but they, from what I've seen, they're good. Yeah, 20-5, winners of their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They've won 10 of their last 11.
Wow.
And that one loss was to that district leading Tuttle, and they lost to them 3-1. Sounded like that was a good game. They're at the Dell City Festival today. At Clinton on, I think that's a Monday. Yes, it is. And then they host Hinton on Tuesday, next Tuesday. They host Clinton next Thursday. And then they're at Altus to wrap up the season in a couple of weeks. So, and then the playoffs kick in. But good job right there, Coach Caleb Murray and the Elk City Elkette softball team. 20-5 and beating Weatherford.
Good lineup and everything.
That is very, very good. And speaking of softball shout-outs, I can't get past softball without giving a shout-out to my kids' team. And in particular, I want to give a shout-out to a young lady who has improved so much. Her name is Kinsey. I won't say her last name. I just feel she knows who she is.
Right.
Kinsey. I will. Kinsey Talbert.
There you go.
she
get some bragging rights
stepped
there.
up big time last night. She hit a rope to straight center field, got all the way to the fence, obviously inside the park, the home run.
Wow. You know?
And we moved her to the shortstop, and it's like she was Derek Jeter. She was – Derek Jeter played short, right? She was
– I think right? so. I can't,
yeah.
You're asking me baseball, and that's foreign language to me.
They hit a line drive at her, and she just stuck her glove up and boom, caught it.
Just the natural right
there.
And
this is 8U, okay? These are second, first, sometimes kindergartners.
Yeah.
And then they hit one to her, and she pops up, and it kind of – she kept it in front, and she gathers it up and rears back and just throws a frozen rope to first base, pops the glove. It wasn't in time, but – all his coaches looked at each other and said, I think we got a shortstop.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens. You'll put a kid in a position that you don't know how they're going to do.
No.
And then all of a sudden, you know, some positions are more natural for them than others. And that position, I mean, it was just, we were blown away. If we gave out player of the game, she would have got it.
Wow.
But both games, Canute won. Shout out to the Rumble Ponies and the Merritt Oilerettes because – The Rumble Ponies, I saw improvement with them. Merritt Oilerettes, they could hit the ball. They just hit it right to our girls, you know.
Yeah.
And but, I mean, I love to see that, just the progression of these kids. They get better and better each game. And what excites me at that level is, man, I know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, in Western Oklahoma as a whole.
Like, oh, yeah.
We're developing really good softball players out here. I see it when I go to these tournaments, these league play games, stuff like that. When I see teams like Thomas, Clinton, Arapahoe Butler, I mean, Cheyenne, I see all these teams, and I see, you know, and you get familiar with each other.
Yeah.
And then I see, man, we're going to have some really good softball when these girls are getting to middle school and high school.
And
I just hope they stick with it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Speaking of softball, you know, we have not talked about district assignments for the small school Class A and B that was released. Some of note, Bingeroni, number one team in Class A, taking on Calumet. First team I mentioned here is the host team. Navajo, Carnegie, Shattuck, Turpin, Arapahoe Butler, Thomas Faye Custer. Canute will be hosting Burns Flat, Dill City. Hydro Weekly, Drummond and Okarchee. Visay, Laverne, Ringwood, and Cheyenne, Ceiling, and O'Keen, Aline, Cleo. That's Class A. Class B district assignments. Lakeba Sickles hosting Mount Viagodibo. Hammond hosting Sentinel. Oh, Hammond has a good team. Fort Cobb hosting Chattanooga and Granite. And Geary hosting Leedy and Dover. I think those pick up next week.
Okay.
Or the week after next. And while we're talking district, fall baseball Class A and Class B district assignments announced. The defending champ Canute Trojans will be hosting Sentinel and Cheyenne. Visay is hosting Drummond, Fargo, Gage, Fort Supply. That's actually one team.
Is it?
It's like three schools or three towns. One, two, three. Yeah.
Just all merged together.
Yeah. Hydro Weekly hosting Navajo and Bingeroni. Sterling hosting Arapahoe Butler, Geronimo, and Ninicol. In Class B, Leedy will be hosting Arnett and Cimarron. Fort Cobb-Broxton hosting Dover and Cement. Lakeba Sickles hosting LaMega and Macomb. Hammond will be hosting Duke, Olustee, El Dorado. And Granite will be hosting Big Pasture and Blair.
All right.
And before you know it, we're going to be talking a lot of playoff stuff.
Yeah.
In fall baseball, in fast pitch softball. And again, I always encourage everybody to go on out and check out those games if you got a chance, because there's some special talent in Western Oklahoma. Absolutely.
Give these guys some encouragement there.
Absolutely. So. Let's see here. Did you watch the NFL game last night?
I saw the highlights. Well, are they highlights with Washington and New York? So.
Well, it's like I was saying off air to you. Sometimes you get two teams that are subpar playing each other, and you can get a above par game.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Below par? You get a good game.
It's a good, yeah, just a
really good game.
It's an unexpected game. It gets wild and everything. You're not sure what's going to happen. So
let's see here. I had the highlights. It was Washington beating New York Giants 30-29. Both quarterbacks ironically looked really good, but that might be because the defenses aren't really good.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones for New York went 22-32, threw for 249 in a touchdown. Had one ran in that was called back. We'll get to that later.
Woohoo.
Taylor Heinicke, the best name in football, 34-46, 336 in through the air, two touchdowns thrown, threw one what looked to be a costly interception. I say the defenses were bad. Washington defense pretty good. They actually held New York to a field goal with exactly 2 minutes left, and that gave Washington enough time to drive down the field and set up for the game-winning field goal. But, man, New York just gave it to them on more than
pretty
one
much.
Occasion.
Yeah.
More than one occasion gave it to them. Like I said, the touchdown ran in, called back. I believe it was because of a hold. They had a wide-open wide receiver. Can't remember who it was. I think it was Galladay. No, it was Slayton. Darius Slayton.
Oh, okay.
Went right through his hands. It wasn't Daniel Jones' fault. It was busted coverage. He put it where it needed to be, and it went right. If it touches your hands as a wide receiver in the NFL, you should be catching it. It went right through his hands.
Ooh.
And he was going to waltz into the end zone.
Yeah.
Then when Washington was kicking for the win, the first kick was no good, but New York Giants jumped off sides.
Wow.
Moved him up 5 yards, and then They nailed it through as time expired. Washington will go to 1-1. New York goes to 0-2 and in a weird way look good doing it, but just costly mistakes. I mean, you hear about mistakes and sometimes they don't get you. Every one of those mistakes New York made cost them.
Yeah. So it's
crazy. But, hey, I love it because it was fun game in primetime.
Yeah.
I caught, like, the second half. It's really only the half you wanted to catch. But what is that now? We had a really good last night, really good primetime game. Sunday night was a really – or Monday night was a really good primetime game between Oakland – there, I did it – Las Vegas and
they're gonna
Baltimore.
Hit, they're going to be in every state eventually. We'll have the Oklahoma City Raiders.
Who soon, was so. Sunday night football? Let me go to the schedule. Feel like it was a good one, too.
I feel horrible because my dad's going to kill me. I didn't watch that Dallas-Tampa Bay game.
Oh, you should have.
I know.
Because that's where I was going.
I know. I feel horrible. So
that's where I was going. Speaking of going, my schedule's not working. I'm sure we got people yelling. The Sunday night game was that was a dud. Chicago and Los Angeles. That was a dud. But the Thursday before, Dallas and Tampa Bay was a good game.
Yep.
We're getting lucky with all these really good primetime games.
Yeah, we are. It's been a better season so far.
It has been. I've enjoyed the season so far, despite being a Dallas fan. And speaking of Dallas, is it more the same for them with the injury news that's come out? It seems like every year, key injuries. Or are they still a contender in the East?
That's
I mean, they still have Dak. He's not injured, and there's still Zeke, and there's still some really good wide receivers. Of course, CeeDee Lamb.
I think you're going you're looking at the injuries and stuff, and how that's affected Dallas over the years. I think you got to look all the way back to like the Aikman, Emmitt Smith date years and everything, and it's been kind of like a cursed ever since then and everything. I think it's the stadium. I think it's that Texas Stadium.
They feel invincible in there or something.
The Jimmy Dome or whatever he calls it.
Jerry World.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I don't know. If there's a team in a division that can survive this, I think it can be Dallas because I think still offensively they're very, very dynamic and they are in a very, very bad division in the East.
Yeah.
So I think they possibly could survive it, but time will tell. But last year, injuries were a big reason why they just weren't good. And they were still, a win away from winning the East and came up short.
Yeah.
And this was with Dak on the sideline. So I think this game is going up against the Chargers this weekend is very, very huge. I know it's only week two, but depending on how they perform there and if they can sneak out with the win, then people say, well, I think they can survive this. Because after the Kansas City game, I looked at the schedule and thought, you know what, the next eight are very – I'm sorry, Kansas City, Tampa Bay. After the Tampa Bay game,
yeah,
I think the next eight are very, very winnable.
Yeah.
And then you're going into Kansas City at 8-1. But if the injuries keep mounting up, suddenly very winnable games become question marks.
Yeah.
And then who knows? So time will tell, but it just feels like it's the same old for the Dallas Cowboys in their injury problems and suspension problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I, quite frankly, I think I know where that starts, and it will never change.
No.
Because as long as a Jones is running the program, and that will always be a Jones, because once Jerry's gone – here comes Steven.
That's an empire right there.
It's kind of a sad state of affairs. But you just feel like 1 year they're going to break through, but it doesn't look like it's going to be this year, to be honest with you.
I
picked them to win the East, but that's all I really picked them to do.
Yeah. I think when you go down to Dallas, you ever listen to the radio down there talking to like Cowboy sports and everything, you think they would just absolutely despise the Cowboys the way they talk about
Jerry Jones. I mean, how is it? I'm very critical of. I say critical. I love my kid to death.
Yeah,
because I'm her worst critic too. You know, I'm hard on her to a fault.
Yeah,
and that's I think how fan bases are with their favorite teams.
Oh yeah,
I'm a Sooner fan and I very critical at times.
Yes,
you know, just ask my friends when I'm texting them during the game if they could be winning 40-0, and I'm going, how come we couldn't win 41?
Right.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
So that's that's the nature of the beast when you're the Dallas Cowboys. Jared Atha filling in for Skinny. It is Jess Moore on the other side.
Hello.
And big shout out to Western Oklahoma Realty, People Before Property, helping us out with our picks contest, college football pick'em contest. Be sure you jump on our Facebook page. There is a link to that, and there's still time to join that because we do pick against the spread. We have over 60 people a part of this. You have chances to win prizes, and it costs nothing to enter. Thank you to Tyler Harrison and his crew over there at Western Oklahoma Realty, People Before Property. Be a part of this because I'm doing horrible, so you're definitely going to beat me even though if you join right now. It's so
we'll see.
Simple to sign up.
I've never
up.
Had luck with my picks, ever.
It is hard to pick against the spread.
It's cursed.
It's really hard to do. So I guess that's what makes this more of a even playing field. You never know how one game can go, backdoor coverage, stuff like that. But we want you to be a part of that. Big thank you to Tyler Harris and his crew over there. They do a great job. And multiple years of sponsoring this for us. Very cool. OU Nebraska is happening this week in the college football landscape. It's going to be a good one, I think. If you're an OU fan, it's going to be an enjoyable one. And I'm just excited about reliving some of the Nebraska memories. If you listen to the Skinny on Sports Report yesterday, Aaron he just dedicated his sports report to OU Nebraska and gave like his top five plays.
Right. Yeah, I kind of listened to a little bit of that and.
I was a little disappointed he left the 2000 game off that. He put the 2001 game on there.
Oh, really?
With the Eric Crouch reception for touchdown, basically his Heisman moment.
Oh, my gosh.
He left off 2000. Listen, it's his sports cast. Yeah. I was sitting there waiting for my favorite play. And keep in mind, I'm 38. I clearly was not alive in 1971.
No.
Okay. I'm a baby in the 80s. So. This was my favorite because I was at this game, but going back and rewatching the game is one of my favorite calls. Let me pop it up here for you. This particular play was when I knew OU was back.
Yeah.
From the dreadful 90s, and they've been building it up, and getting some nice wins, but still coming into that OU-Nebraska game in 2000, it was like, well, this could be where we hit a brick wall.
Yeah.
It almost looked like that when they got down 14-0 in the first quarter. Nebraska's real. Maybe we've snuck up here. Maybe we're not that good. But then the defense held them, and this was the one play I thought, OU's back. This play right here.
Third and long, 27 to go. Crouch straight drop. Sideline intercepted. Berg straight. And straight, might go straight to the end zone. Touchdown.
And I know they've expanded the stadium since then and added seats and whatnot, but to this day, there's arguably other times. That particular play on that day, I don't think I've ever heard that stadium ever loud.
That sounds like the Super Bowl right there.
It was incredibly loud. Now, 08 Texas Tech, that place got pretty loud at times. They're early in the game, and then it turned into a romp, the jump-around game, as they call it.
Yeah.
But that particular play was my favorite OU-Nebraska play because that, to me, was the stamp of approval of OU is back, and they're not going away anytime soon.
Not at all.
And then, ironically, it kind of turned around for Nebraska. Now, I know Nebraska went and played on for a national title. I believe it was 0-1. They bounced back to they beat OU the next year. But what's Nebraska been the last 20 years since that title run or that national title game appearance?
Right.
Really nothing.
Yeah.
And where's OU been? They're constantly knocking on the door. So that was kind of a turning point for both programs. But that one right there is my particular favorite play. I believe that was Brent Musburger on the call. I love it. Straight to the end zone.
So.
Derek straight on the pick, straight to the end zone. That made it 31-14. Of course, that was the final score, and the rest is history. Can't wait for tomorrow's game because of all the history in this game. Wish this game happened every year. It feels like college football is better. There's a great question on Twitter the other day of games that were really good in the day that that they don't play anymore, should they play all the time? And what the options were like OU Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri. They've had some good football games.
Yeah.
Of course, we just saw Texas and Arkansas. So what are some games, do you think, any come to mind that, you know, they were, but, you know, conference realignment has kind of killed some of these great rivalries.
Right.
Nebraska-Colorado, that was always a fun one.
Right.
What is any stand out to you like to see return on an annual basis?
You know what? It was just because this is kind of my team. I'm always for the underdogs and stuff in football, but Texas Tech, Texas A&M, that was always a big rivalry way back in the day. But that's, I'm talking 70s, 80s.
Well, Texas like and that. Texas A&M, I think, should be playing every year.
Yeah.
And it looks like we might get that back.
Yeah.
So that's coming back. So that's kind of why I left that off the list. But,
right.
Yeah. But so. I can see what you're saying there. Yeah. Yeah. So they're, you know, so OU Nebraska is one. It kind of lost its luster when they went to the Big 12 and went to the North Division, the South Division. They only played like once every 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
Kind of lost its luster there. It was nice to see them in the Big 12 championship game, but that was the last time they played, and OU won that game. So it's nice to have them back, at least in Norman. I wish I could go. I'm just circumstances I can't.
Right.
But I'm really anxious for this game. Just
yeah,
it's not
be
so
good.
Much for the game, but just for the pageantry.
Just the history
that
behind
is,
it.
Yes, the pageantry that is college football. Can't wait for it. Other game in the state that we'll definitely be paying attention to is, well, it's not in the state, but it involves a state team, Oklahoma State at Boise State. OU's very familiar with Boise State.
Oh, yeah.
And OSU has, too. They played them recently, beat them last time they played them. It was in Stillwater a couple seasons ago. Now they have returned the trip to Boise, and a lot of people like Boise this game. I'm one of them. Reluctantly, I am one of them because of, well, Boise State can move the football. They're very good on offense, but it's OSU's inability to move the football. Have you seen much of that? What's your opinion of this game, Jess?
I think Boise State's going to destroy them. I hate to be that way.
Ooh, destroy. You're using the D word.
I'm going to.
Wow.
I don't like to be that brash or anything, but.
Wow.
No, this has probably been one of OSU's worst seasons, I think, in years.
Wow.
Almost a decade,
probably. It's only 2-0, man. They're
2-0.
Well, it's only two games.
They're getting sloppy, and I think it's a lot has to do with just Gundy's kind of – I think he's hit his peak and everything. So
Are you calling for Gundy's job here?
I'm not calling for Gundy's job, but I'm saying maybe he's just finally seeing the end of the road.
Wow.
So –
sometimes I wonder if a change of scenery is good for a guy like Gundy, like a coach like Gundy. Been same place a long time. It is his alma mater, and he's very comfortable there. But
yeah.
Is the passion still there? Is the fire still there?
Yeah, I mean.
You know, sometimes, you know, like, what if he'd taken that Tennessee job? Where would Tennessee be right now?
That's a good question.
You know,
so.
It's like, hey, new environment, new chances here.
You need that sometimes.
New inroads on recruiting, you know, stuff like that. I can recruit the South more. And
yeah.
I can bring in other coaches that might have been hard to bring into Stillwater. I don't know. I'm just throwing out options. I'm not trying to
see. I'm going to end up probably eating my own words too and everything. This is going to come back to haunt me.
I can
now,
see so. OSU, and we gave our predictions for this game, and I did predict Boise State to win because of ball control. I think they keep it out of the hands of OSU.
Yeah.
I think that's a compliment because I think that OSU has kind of been, Luck's been involved, but a little vanilla with their play calling in these first two games. Let's face it, it was Missouri State and Tulsa.
Yeah.
Okay. And they won. I think Sanders is going to have a good game when he has the ball, but I think Boise State at home is able to control the ball, hold on to the ball, and just score more points than OSU.
Yeah.
So that's why I picked Boise State. I don't know. I mean, if the same old rears its ugly head, the turnover issues that Sanders has, the inability to run the football, the finding your number one wide receiver, if those issues return Saturday night, that might tell us it's going to be a long season.
Yeah,
in Stillwater.
Yeah. So we'll see. Again, I could eat my own words and everything, but I'm not going to hold my breath. That's for sure.
Any other games stand out to you? Have you looked at the schedule? Any other games?
Really. Oh, let's see. I'm sure there's some.
There are some. I mean, there's a lot of unranked versus ranked, which tells us that it could be
schedule.
A boring weekend, or we could see a lot of upsets.
Yeah.
Aaron kind of thinks the latter. I think actually it's going to be kind of a boring weekend.
Right.
Alabama is at Florida, number one versus number 11. Does the Swamp get Nick Saban in Alabama? Absolutely not. I think Alabama's up 17-0 at half. After the first quarter. I think Florida still can't figure out who their quarterback's going to be. Aaron really likes Michigan State beating Miami at Miami. Miami struggled with Appalachian State last week. The winner of that game was the cat not dying when it fell. West Virginia, yeah. West Virginia hosting Virginia Tech. I like West Virginia a lot in that one. I think Virginia Tech is good. I just think Morgantown is a tough place to win at. In fact, West Virginia is a favorite, so I don't know if you can – we were kind of debating about that. What constitutes as an upset, an unranked team beating a ranked team, or if that unranked team is the favorite in winning, is that even an upset?
Yeah, I mean –
Vegas says they're the favorite by 2.5.
Yeah, well, depends on how much they're betting. But yeah, I can
– You see what I'm saying?
Call it an upset. I mean, you got – a nothing team going up against a ranked team.
I'll tell you this, if West Virginia wins, they'll say, this wasn't an upset. We're just supposed to win this game.
Yeah. So.
You know what I mean? So I don't think – if Virginia Tech wins, no, they're not going to call it an upset. They're going to say the 15th ranked team in the nation beat an unranked team. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And the one I like, one I'm really going to watch and keep an eye on is Tulane at Ole Miss.
Okay.
Tulane gave OU fits. They turn around and beat a really bad Morgan State team. Oh, what was that score? 60-something to – it was 69-20.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
They are the fifth best team moving the football scoring-wise. They're the, okay. So they score points, scoring the football, crossing the – so I'm anxious to see how they do going into SEC country again against an okay – Ole Miss team, how do they do? If they go and score 35-plus in a loss, they're a 14-point underdog. What if they go in and lose by 5, you know, like in Norman? Or what if they pull off the upset? Does it change what we think about OU? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's like, hey, listen, it looked like OU stubbed their toe and drug their feet against Tulane. Well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe Tulane's actually a good team.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm really keeping an eye on for this weekend.
Okay.
Hey, Jess, we're out of time. Thanks for being on.
Man, Jared, thanks for having me.
I appreciate you filling in, and any opportunity we have again.
Always.
You're always welcome. And I'll tell Aaron, too. You know, okay. If I'm not here, call Jess Moore.
There you go.
Tonight, Merritt at Hinton. Can't wait to watch it, buddy.
Look forward to it.
Can't wait to watch it. 6:30 pregame, kicking off at 7, right here on the Sports Animal, also on ParagonTV.com. We got to get out of here. Have a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.